to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 223 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. And once again, this week's show is brought to you by Manscaped. I'll get to my read here in just a minute. But first, hope you all had a fantastic weekend. Oh, man. Hey, Michigan, weather, it's heating up. We got a heat wave going on up here. It was 37 degrees and sunny today. Absolutely love it. I'll take it. Unfortunately, I'm sure we're going to get hit with a few more snowstorms, but that's okay. I'll take 37 all day in February in Michigan. All right, let's see here. Week two of the 2021 NASCAR season is in the books, and what a crazy weekend of racing it was. It was kind of perfect, and I say that because it was decent racing at the road course after a wild weekend, though, at Daytona the week before. I think it was the perfect setup for what's going to be maybe a little bit more of a mellow couple weeks of racing as we get to the more intermediate and cookie-cutter tracks, with the exception of Phoenix and Atlanta. I know Atlanta's a mile and a half, but the racing there tends to be a lot better than at some of the other mile-and-a-half tracks just due to the tire wear and all that kind of stuff. But I'm excited, and I can't wait to talk about the racing this past weekend here in just a little bit. What'd you guys do this weekend? For me, Friday, pretty chill. Hung out at the house, watched the truck race, chilled in the man cave. Saturday, did some running around, took Lindsay out to dinner. Sunday, the usual, Zaylin came over, and we watched the Maize and Blue go into Columbus and beat OSU. Too bad it was a basketball game and not a football game. I messaged Brad Yunker, and all he did was send me however many days it's been, which is into the thousands, that U of M football has not beaten OSU football. So that's what he had to say about that. And then we dialed up some cup racing, of course. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's epic Tuesday show and bonus show on Friday. Last week had Jayski's own Dustin Albino on to announce that him and I twice a month are going to start a bonus show, which is going to be supported by Jayski, which is awesome. Be on the lookout for that to get started in a couple weeks. And also posted the first bonus show of 2021. That's right. 1 week into the season, already got bonus shows coming out. And that one's, of course, was centered around the E-Racer series and the Carnomaly 500. And listen, guys, I know that may not be the content that you're used to from me, but by the numbers, you guys enjoyed it. Downloads were awesome for the week, which almost set a download record last week. And looking forward to definitely creeping up on that record as a combined week with a combined total with both shows here, which is awesome. I think you guys did enjoy it. I mean, who doesn't love hearing from Parker Kligerman on a bonus show? And I know the show Friday went a little long. The next two bonus shows this Friday, next Friday, will be significantly shorter as the field is smaller for the Carnomaly 500. So be on the lookout for that. Make sure you get to Twitch and follow the E-Racer channel tomorrow and, Wednesday, depending on when you look at it, and Thursday for their racing content that they're going to have. They're going to start narrowing this thing down for the main event next Wednesday, which is going to be awesome. All right, there's the plugs. What's going on tonight? Well, as the Cup Series has had two first-time winners, I'm having two first-time guests tonight in Corey LaJoy and Quinn Half. I'm very excited about that. I'm going to recap the Daytona road courses for all three series, social media. Brian Newdorf is going to be on with the weather for Homestead, Lucky Dog, Lap Downs, and, of course, Fantasy, Lap Traffic Nation. I had an abysmal showing and effort this past weekend. I'll get to that at the fantasy segment for sure. But before we get things rolling, Lap Traffic Nation support for the Lap Traffic Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Lap Traffic Nation, I got to tell you, I've been using the products that Manscaped sent me now for about 2 weeks, and they're just absolutely incredible. I'm telling you, you guys got to get to manscaped.com. Go check out some of the awesome products that they have. Go check out the Lawnmower 3.0. Go check out the crop mops, the deodorant, all that good stuff, man. It is all great quality products. And when you check out, make sure you use code LAPP. That's LAPPED. Get 20% off and free shipping on your order at manscaped.com. All right, Live Traffic Nation, before we get to racing, let's kick things off with Corey LaJoy. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's no stranger to podcasting himself. He picked up a top 10 at Daytona a couple weeks ago. He's the driver of the number 7 with Spire Motorsports. It's Corey LaJoy. Corey, what's going on, man? How are you?
Man, I'm just got done recording Stack of Pennies episode 3 down at NASCAR building now. Headed over here to Dad's shop to get a little work done.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. Talk about your podcasting experience. You know, like for me, amateur doing it, like my wife's very understanding, which is cool. Like, you know, but you know, it's a little bit more serious for you guys. What got you into wanting to do a podcast to the level that you're doing it with NASCAR and all that?
Well, it started a couple years ago with MRN, and they were wanting to fill that kind of void in their digital content platform with, you know, something that was kind of lighthearted and talked about behind the scenes of NASCAR a little bit and kind of got away from the nuts and bolts. So we called that Sunday Money, a little tip of the cap for Earnhardt's boat back in the day.
Sure.
And it, you know, kind of let me get my feet wet and kind of understand that side of the coin, if you will, with on the media side that I wasn't really used to on how to talk about the sport. And I ended up really liking it and started doing some more stuff with SiriusXM and among others, and kind of grew into it. And it ended up taking off pretty good, and a lot of people seemed to like it. And when the acquisition that NASCAR bought ISC or took ISC back private, MRN was included in the deal, so they essentially took me from the MRN platform and we kind of concocted a show called Stacking Pennies. It's kind of my career motto with some different guests. So I have a buddy of mine that changes front tires, Ryan Flores, for Brad Keselowski. He's our pit road analyst. We have some different winners on. We've actually been lucky enough to have, we had Chase Briscoe as our first guest on the show leading into his rookie season campaign. We had the Daytona 5 champ himself, Michael McDowell, on the second show, and today we interviewed Ty Gibbs, which was pretty cool to hear his point of view. So we're able to do a lot of cool things with that NASCAR, with the leverage that NASCAR pulls, and just trying to get better at that and try to keep people entertained, and people seem to like it.
That's so cool, man. I love it. That's awesome. I love that you guys have got, you know, I know you have it, and some of the other drivers out there have, or teams even have, you know, started their own team podcasts and stuff. And I mean, there's so much of a fan craving for more content other than just what we get on, you know, NASCAR Race Hub or pre-race. Not that those aren't great, they are, but for the fans that want more on whether it's a specific team, driver, whatever, I love that. So that's cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's hard to, you know, differentiate yourself from every other podcast, right? But I think just doing it organically and doing it, to not try to fit a certain thing, and you know, you'll eventually people will find their niche or they won't. And Sunday Money kind of found its niche, and people gravitated towards that. And I hopefully that Stacking Pennies finds a niche. Once people start hearing it, but you know, once people start listening to a certain podcast they like, it's hard to get them to peel away another 45 minutes of time to listen to something new. But I think they're going to start putting some muscle behind it to start marketing it a little bit, and who knows where that thing can go. But you know, they seem to be pretty happy with it so far, with the amount of downloads they've seen, and just keep having fun with it.
That's awesome, man. Hey, all right, so let's talk about the new team, Spire Expansion, going to 2 cars. With it being such a unique time in the world with you know, what we can't do with the number of people and all that kind of stuff, talk about the off season and what that was like for you.
Well, we had a bunch of stuff going on. you know, new team, obviously moving out of the old team. When you're there for 2 years, you certainly acquire a bunch of stuff. So that process was a little bit long, moving seats and still trying to mount seats, trying to get myself comfortable in these new Ganassi cars that Spire has, and get used to the culture that we're trying to build and just kind of integrate myself. So a lot of stuff going on in the off season. I've always got a bunch of projects going on at the same time, so my wife lets me know often that I need to take some of the projects off my plate. But
mine too.
You know, I got a lot of stuff, and I think that, you know, it's all beneficial to my career. Just continue to, you know, build the brand a little bit, and you know, step by step.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about some racing. We're 2 weeks in. Let's start with Daytona. We had all the hype, the pomp, the circumstance last Sunday. We run a few laps, and then, boom, 5.5-hour rain delay. Man, what did you guys do to stay occupied? You know, that's just got to be so frustrating as a driver when you don't know whether NASCAR is going to call it, whether you guys are going to go racing. And when it gets to that time, you know, how do you stay focused and you know, on your toes for something like that?
Yeah, rain delays always stink. It puts everybody in a bad box with, you know, TV and NASCAR and trying to get the track you know, dry. So it's hard. There's nobody likes a rain delay, right? But I think NASCAR and everybody did a good job of trying to get that thing back going, because nobody wants to come back the next day. So it was cool to race that thing on Sunday night when I don't think anybody really expected to get it in, and I'm glad we got a good day out of it.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you guys had a great weekend. Finished seventh in the duels, top 10 at Daytona. You know, plate racing is done pretty well, or you've done pretty well at the plate tracks, if we can still call them that or whatever. You know, talk about that and the momentum that you can still carry with a top 10 at Daytona into the next few weeks as the season really starts to pick up.
Well, I think it's really important to get, you know, start on the right foot. It's hard to leave any points at the table anymore when you're going to be going down to the wire with guys that you'll be racing around every week. So it's good to get a leg up on some of our competition. We got wrecked there by the 9 with, you know, 8 to go running in the top 10 of the road course. So we got to rebound a little bit from that here at Homestead. I got a couple good tracks coming up with Homestead and Vegas and Phoenix. So I'm looking forward to really see how we stack up on the competition side with these new cars and new team, and then work on whatever weaknesses we have.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. You mentioned the road course there. From a fan perspective, sitting on the couch watching this thing, this road course this past week, I mean, it's, you know, it's the second time we've been there. I think, you know, we all didn't know what to expect last year when we ran the road course at Daytona. You know, but we've obviously been to Watkins Glen. We've had the Roval a couple times. From a fan perspective, sitting on the couch, this thing just felt a little weird and unique from the drop of the green flag. Did that feel the same way to you guys in the cars? Because I know that was some of the perspective on social media, was that this thing, it was a good race, but it just felt weird from the get-go.
Well, I think anytime you go to the same racetrack back-to-back, the energy, you know, isn't gonna repeat. You know, and especially when you try to back up the biggest race of the year, it'd be in the 500. You know, it's going to feel a bit different going from 200 miles an hour to being on the same venue, but you're going, you know, 80 sure. in the infield. So, you know, so obviously the way that NASCAR's leaning is more road courses, but, you know, I don't know. That's above my pay grade on all that. But, you know, I think that they were obviously in a tough spot with California not letting us go race in Fontana, so I know they were wanting to you know, it was the easy fix and probably the most makes the most sense logistically for the teams to go back down to Daytona, and doesn't really put anybody in a bind leading into the West Coast swing.
Sure, fair enough. I'm with you there. Okay, you mentioned we got some tracks coming up that are hopefully going to work to your favor there, but we also got some new tracks. Is there any one of the new tracks that you're really excited to go and get to and see how you run at?
Well, I think I'm really excited to get to Martinsville. I'm excited to go to Bristol Dirt Track, which it'll be kind of an even playing field for everybody. But, you know, some guys that have some more dirt experience than myself will certainly be favorites. But I'm excited to get to a couple of those oddball tracks. I'm excited to go to COTA. Got some laps there during the winter in a car. So, you know, I'm excited to I'm excited for the season to get a couple races under my belt with, you know, with Spire and drive some cars that have, you know, comparable engine packages and some cars that are born in this decade. So, you know, there's no telling how good we can be.
Absolutely. I love it. All right, man, we'll wrap it with this. I want to talk real quick about one of your favorite charities, Samaritan's Feet. You've raised over $240,000 for this organization. It's a unique one. So talk, you know, what drove you to that charity is to kind of get behind?
Yeah, I mean, Samaritan's Feet isn't my charity, but if I were to think of a charity to do or what their mission is, that would be it. And it's been a lot of fun to plug in and help Samaritan's Feet raise awareness of funds for trying to put shoes on the feet of, you know, the millions of people across the world that aren't that lucky. And, you know, us as Americans don't realize how good we have it. If we need some shoes, we go on Amazon and buy it, or, you know, go to the store and purchase them. But, you know, there's almost a billion people in the world that don't have adequate footwear. And that's also the leading cause of death is foot-borne diseases or viruses. So I urge everybody to go check out Samaritan's Feet, you know, and everybody, if anybody's like me, there's usually three or four pairs of shoes that don't get worn that are in pretty good shape that they can go to somebody that are in a lot more need. So that certainly pulls at the heartstrings, and it certainly, you know, coincides with my nickname being Super Shoe. The least I can do is try to provide shoes for people in need.
I love it, man. That's great. All right, Corey, where can everybody follow you on social media? Give some plugs to the sponsors and all that good stuff.
Yep. So, just my name on pretty much all the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm pretty much on Instagram all the time, at Corey LaJoy. So my website's Corey LaJoy Racing. You can buy some merch from there if you want to, hats, shirts, all the good stuff. So, if you need me, you know where to find me on social media, just like everybody else anymore.
I love it, man. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Corey LaJoy for calling to the show. Corey, best of luck to you this weekend at Homestead and the rest of the season, and thanks for coming on the show, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Talk soon.
Take care. See ya. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, great to get Corey LaJoy on for the first time. Can't wait to get him back on. And be on the lookout a little bit right after the racing discussion. I'm going to get Quinn Hulf on the line as well. But right now, it's time to talk a little truck series action from the Daytona Road Course this past weekend. Ben Rhodes back to back, man. What a start to the season for Ben Rhodes. Get to him in just a minute here. Because, hey, what a start to the race. Had a little rain out there. Had some guys on rain tires. Started the race as they went into turn one into the infield. Said all we needed to know about what was to come for the entire race weekend, which was pretty fantastic. You know, CJ Wolliver and I said it a couple weeks ago on the truck preview show that Ben Rhodes needed to up his game. And, man, that he has done. His first multiple win season. Oh, by the way, we're only 2 weeks into the season. Picked up first two wins of the year. You know, prior to this year, six full years in the truck series and only had three wins. Ben Rhodes and Thor Sport have put GMS on notice early, which I think is awesome. I cannot wait for those two teams to battle it out this year. That's for sure. Speaking of Thor, man, I'm so torn on that 98 ride. Y'all know I love Grant Enfinger. And I love Christian Eckes. They've both been on the show, both supporters of the show. I both love what they do. I love what they both do on the track. And I think they both deserve a full-time ride. You know, that's obviously not the case this year. But it's good to see that 98 team succeeding, doing well with a top 10 finish this week. And I'm sure Grant's going to do just fine his next time in that ride as well. Sheldon Creed doing what Sheldon Creed does. Let's go out there and be up front all race, put himself in a position at the end. Didn't expect anything less than that. Neither did you guys, as he was a heavy, heavy favorite in the Lat Traffic Fantasy League. John Hunter Nemechek, you know, he looked good at the opener at Daytona, got caught up in one. But he backed it up with a top three this weekend at the road course. You know, how long before he takes that KBM number four to victory lane. I'm thinking he does it at Atlanta. If I had to guess, I think John Hunter Nemechek gets to victory lane over the next couple races, that's for sure. Haley Deegan finished 28th, was in the top 10 after stage two. You know, and now that Daytona is done and the road course is over, I'm very curious to see how she runs these first couple of ovals we get to. I think the real test for Haley Deegan begins now with our next race, that's for sure. I mentioned, you know, my last traffic fantasy struggles occurred all weekend. Outside of people who didn't pick, I think I set the record for the lowest points scored over the entire 5 years. And it started Friday night with Zane Smith, who looked good early, but finished dead last with a wreck. I'll recap all of my picks throughout the series here. Truck Series, off week for the trucks, but they'll be back at it Friday night in a couple weeks under the lights in Las Vegas. Okay, let's talk about this crazy Xfinity Series race. Ty Gibbs picking up his first win as a rookie. A lot of controversy around this one with the winner and the racing. You know, last year's season champ, last week's winner at the opener, Austin Cindric, drew some heat on social media with his on-track incident with fan favorite AJ Allmendinger. You know, here's what I'll say. You know, if AJ feel he's owed one, then I'm sure he'll get one. A bummer for sure. Bummer for me in my live traffic fantasy pick, as well as a lot of you guys who took AJ. You know, so we'll see what happens there. I doubt those two have raced their last spot on the track side by side. So we'll see what happens. It's early. And yeah, I mean, what else can you say other than we'll see what happens? You know, race winner Ty Gibbs taking some heat, being the product of nepotism. You know, here's what I'll say to that heat on social media. I love it. And I'll tell you why I love it. I love it because it means people are watching and engaged with the sport. You know, family members of those in any sport get a little extra eye, you know, and it's not just sports. You know, it happens in the music industry. It happens in Hollywood. You know, if someone in your family has a gift, then it's likely offspring might have some talent, you know, and it's possible that those people are able to take advantage of knowing people. And while Joe Gibbs hasn't officially raced, you know, Joe Gibbs is a talented individual, and it's likely that his, you know, family might be as well. So, hey, you know, you can't fault a guy for being in a family tree of somebody that's, you know, established, you know. So he won a race, which is more than some other people can say. So I think we just got to roll with the punches with that. And let's see what he does going forward. You know, if he wins, you know, 10 races over the next 3-4 years, you know, then guy's got some talent. And the guy obviously has talent because, you know, he won a race, and I'll leave that with that. Got to give a quick shout-out to Landon Castle, top 15. Excited to get Landon back on the show this Friday as part of the eRacer Carnomaly 500 bonus show, and can't wait to see what else Landon Castle is able to do in that number four car in the Xfinity Series. So, man, that's awesome. Glad he was able to get a solid finish this week. And as I mentioned, my lap traffic fantasy pick struggles continued on Saturday, like many of you who had AJ this week. So looking forward to him bouncing back. Looking forward to the Xfinity Series this Saturday at Homestead. All right, let's move over to the Cup Series with first-time winner Christopher Bell picking up the win. And much like the truck race on Sunday, we had rain play a little bit of a factor with some unusually timed cautions that took the win away from Chase. You know, Chase was putting on a clinic. We all expected him to, and was well on his way to another road course win, but pitted late in that rain, because of the rain, he pitted late in the race, and some of those around him just ran out of talent, and he was a product of that. Last week's Daytona 500 winner backed it up with a top seven finish this week of the road course. He's done pretty well at Homestead, too, so I'm excited to see what Michael McDowell is able to do next week at Homestead. You know, I think what happens sometimes is we just have this expectation of some of these guys at certain tracks or style of tracks. And at some point, that luck's got to reset. My prime example of that is Kevin Harvick with Phoenix. You know, for years, everybody put that win in the win column for him. Guess what? Kevin Harvick hasn't won there in a couple years. Not to say he can't go back and start that streak all over again, but that's sort of what I feel we have come to expect with Chase Elliott and Martin Truex Jr. to be competing for wins at road courses. And they would have been had bleep not happened this week, you know, and they will be out there competing for wins at the six other road course races that we have this year. And by the way, they can win at other tracks too. They've won some ovals if you haven't been paying attention. So, hey, don't get too bummed out that, Chase and Martin Truex weren't up there competing for it 1 and 2 at the end of this thing. So, and like I said, Lap Traffic Fantasy with Byron, who had some issues this week. I finished with a whopping 23 points for the entire weekend. I am totally looking forward to Homestead this weekend and rebounding. That is for sure. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for this week's race talk. Let's get to our next guest making their Lap Traffic debut. It's Quinn Helfe. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the 00 with Starcom Racing. It's Quinn Helfe. Quinn, what's going on, man? How are you?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show, man. First time. Glad to have you. Listen, before we get into racing stuff, I got to ask, how is the speed on that Chevy Spark, man? Will that thing hold caution speed?
Yeah, that was a funny little rental car we got down there doing some media stuff before the Daytona 500 with me and the tail. And I was just back there messing around and the cameras turned and I was like, all right, let's do this. I don't think it could quite hang out there on the IMSA tracks, but it was fun to drive around a little bit, to say the least.
That's awesome, man. Like I said, first time on the show, for those that may not know your background, give everyone the quick 411, you know, your racing background, growing up, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm a guy that didn't come from a racing background. None of my family raced or anything like that. I kind of got this bug all on my own and started racing go-karts at 8 years old as a thing for my dad and I to do together as a hobby here locally in Virginia. And at a very young age, you know, I was like, man, I want to grow up and be a professional race car driver in NASCAR. And that was always the dream. And luckily, I met a lot of great people on the way and got involved with a lot of great driver development programs, getting up through the late models at a young age of 14 to 18, and got my first shot at the big track stuff when the ARCA series at 18 years old at Daytona, and had a lot of success early in that race, and that was kind of the bouncing board for the rest of the opportunities through the Xfinity series and ultimately the Cup series. So it's been a dream come true in a wild and interesting journey, but I wouldn't trade it for anything, and the people I met along the way have made it worth everything to me. So you know, very grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be a full-time driver in the Cup Series heading into my second season with Starcom Racing, and for them to believe in me to continue to make the next steps in their program, being their only fourth season in the Cup Series. So we got a lot of great partners coming on board. Today we had some exciting news with bringing a new partner to the Cup Series in NASCAR, 8-Ball Chocolate Whiskey. Out of the West Coast, that's making its way across America, and they're hard workers and grinders just like we are, and they believe in the same vision that I have, and it means the world to me for them to come on board this year and support our program.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I knew you guys were making a sponsor announcement. How cool is that when it's a new sponsor coming into the series with you know, not that you're new, but you're a newer driver. You know, that's pretty cool that you guys are able to get on the same page in terms of, you know, goals, objectives. You know, what's that like to know that you're representing a first-time brand in the sport?
Yeah, it's very exciting. Paul Thomas and his team out there with 8-Ball is a great group of guys, and they're big race fans as well. They do a lot of stuff on the West Coast with the Baja 1000 stuff and are just motorsports enthusiasts. So our relationship got off to a great start, and I'm glad to be able to become a part of that family and represent them as they grow. And like you said, it means so much to have companies come and believe in what you're doing and what your program is doing. in the Cup Series, and to have two, a new company with a new driver and a new team, and to be able to grow together is going to be something very special. And I mean, our cars are going to look great. Obviously, the 8-ball is very recognizable for them anywhere. And we're going to have some cool looking things coming along with it.
That's awesome. I hope you got some pretty cool promotional stuff with that too, because I got to imagine they've got some cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Listen, let's talk about the team a little bit. Talk about what it's like having a veteran like Derek Cope as the mentor over there at StarCom.
Yeah, you know, Derek Cope is a very versatile person. He's been in the sport a long time, obviously Daytona 500 champion, but he's also done all the behind the scenes things, from motors to shocks to running his own program, and now becoming the general manager of StarCom. And as a young driver in the Cup Series, it's very valuable to have someone with that much experience on your side. And you know, he even got behind the wheel a little bit here this year. Unfortunately, both of our Daytona 500 runs didn't end the way we wanted to, but the guys have been putting in a lot of hard work this off season, and I think we've got a good amount of great pieces coming along here heading into Homestead, and hopefully we can shake off some of this bad luck we've been having the first 2 weeks with this Magic 8-Ball paint scheme we're going to have.
That's awesome. All right, so I want to talk about, you mentioned the last 2 weeks here. You know, a unique start for 2021. Obviously, everybody knows what Daytona can bring. And unfortunately, Daytona got to you guys. And then the road course, just unique beast in and of itself. Only the second time there to go from, you know, a plate race to a road course race that everyone's still trying to get a good handle on. How do you not let the first 2 weeks, you know, run down that momentum and that positivity to be able to look towards, you know, the next month where we get back to some of the more, if you will, cookie cutter tracks and start to really build upon that?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is just that we all support each other. Everyone in the team is in it together, and they believe in me and I believe in them. And we know that this bad luck can't keep us down. And we know that we've been putting in a lot of hard work. Those guys have been doing a lot of work to our race cars, changing some stuff up, trying to get faster. And I've been putting in as much work as I can away from the track physically, as well as just studying data and film and doing the stuff on my SimSeat simulator at home. So, you know, it's very frustrating to start off the season slow, but at least we're getting this out the way early. I really feel like we're going to hit our stride here soon and show all the hard work is going to pay off. And, you know, you can't get down on those things. This is a long schedule. We still got plenty of races left to turn this thing around. And, I got a lot of exciting things in the future that I'm looking forward to getting to. So very excited to get to Homestead, Miami, and debut this 8-Ball chocolate whiskey car and turn the season around for us.
That's awesome. What are some of the tracks, you know, the schedules, you know, going to some new tracks this year? Which one or two are you most excited to get to this year?
Well, there's just a bunch of exciting things, and NASCAR has done a very good job with implementing a lot of different tracks, very new tracks, and then some dirt thrown in there. So, you know, it used to be something that kind of was bland, I feel like, to where the series was always going to the same places over and over again, and sure, you kind of knew what to expect. So it's refreshing to see that as a driver, and I think for the fans as well, that we're going to be going to some new places. So it's really hard to tap one thing that I'm most excited about. Obviously, there's a bunch of unknowns. I'm eager to get to more road courses. I've got to get better as a driver there. I don't have much road course experience, and I'm looking forward to getting better at mastering that craft and skill that it takes, because it's a very different approach from what you normally do at an oval track. And then dirt racing, I mean, I guess who doesn't like dirt racing? I've never done dirt racing. I never thought that Bristol would get dirt put on it, but it's got a lot of excitement going on, so I'm excited to be as prepared as I can be heading into that race. I've been doing as much dirt racing as I can in any form on iRacing, and kind of getting used to what kind of vision you have to have and where you gotta kind of focus your eyes and how throttle things, you know, reacts on dirt compared to oval and
that's
oval
all
asphalt. So it's really tough. I mean, there's just so many unknowns. It's it just makes you anxious to get there and do it for real and see what it's all about.
You know, it's you mentioned the iRacing there and getting in the sim, and I've really gotten a good look at iRacing and the sim world. Is I'm doing a lot of work with Landon Castle and Parker Kligerman with their Carnomaly 500 that they've got that started last week and over the next 2 weeks. And man, the level of intensity and the technical side of things from the iRacing world, you know, we all got a taste of it last spring, right? During COVID, when, you know, NASCAR, you know, broadcasted some of those races, but to really see the involvement that you can get with that, you know, how beneficial is that to you to be able to go and run some dirt races or some road course races, you know, a week or two before we actually go there? Is that as beneficial as people tend to say that it is?
I mean, iRacing is a very great tool. And, you know, heading into 2020, I was not a very big iRacing person, and I got a great partnership with SimSeats at a race out of Virginia, and you know, that kind of came at a perfect time that we didn't plan for, because I got a rig right when the pandemic hit. So I had all the pandemic break to get my feet wet in the iRacing world. And then, like you said, the involvement with the Pro Invitational, and that's something that NASCAR really liked and is bringing back this year. So I look forward to being involved with that and being able to, you know, go on there and run Bristol Dirt Race the week before we actually go do it for real. And it's just really cool to see how the two worlds have kind of come together and have made it better for both, you know. In the industry of racing, it's brought a lot of different eyes to the Cup Series on Sundays, and it's also brought a lot of the Cup Series guys' interest to iRacing. So it's a lot of fun to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Got to love crossover in any form. It's a good thing. Quinn, tell everybody where they can follow you at on social media, keep up with you, the team, and the sponsors.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at P1_Half. I have a like page on Facebook at Quinn Half. And you can go on my website at quinnhalf.com, and all my socials are tagged in there as well as StarCon. So we stay as involved as we can online. We do a lot of fun stuff with our sponsors on social media, so I look forward to continuing to do that, especially with our new sponsor, 8Ball, and looking forward to the rest of the season.
That's awesome, man. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Quinn with StarCom for calling into the show tonight. Quinn, good luck this weekend at Homestead, and good luck in the rest of the 2021 season, and look forward to talking to you soon, man.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep, take care. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, great to get Quinn on for the first time. Excited about what he's doing with the sport, bringing in some new sponsors, which is always awesome. All right. Let's get to a little Lap Traffic social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And hey, if you've made it into the show this far, do me a favor. Leave a review wherever you listen. And you can listen just about anywhere. Any podcast platform, you can find the Lap Traffic Podcast. You can even tell Alexa to play the Lap Traffic Podcast. Don't forget about the giveaway. About 250 so away from giving the Clint Bowyer diecast and some Lap Traffic swag. So keep the retweets up and all that good stuff. And speaking of new followers, hey, AJ at NASCAR Fanatic 9 and Elliot and Packers fan. Oh, man, hey. Packers, tough break, but hey, at least you're not a Lions fan like I am. Brad at Brad Slaughter, professional sim racer. What's up, man? I'm guessing you found the show from the eRacer series, which is awesome. And Alan at Bright Blue Stang loves motorsports and iRacing as well. Welcome to the show, guys. Tell your friends. Hey, get to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the store. Get yourself a t-shirt, hoodie, travel mugs, all that good stuff. And hey, if you want some stickers and a free koozie, fill out the contact page on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, and I'll send you one for free. Yes, that's right, free. Who doesn't love free stuff? And last plug, I promise, get to manscaped.com, get yourself some man stuff. And while you're there and at checkout, use code LAPPED, L-A-P-P-E-D, get 20% off and free shipping. All right. Let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf on the line. Let's see what's going to happen this weekend weather-wise at Homestead. All right, Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his solo weather debut for the 2021 season, but not initial debut on the show. You all know who it is. You can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Aaron Studwell, keeping us up to date on all the weather happenings this weekend for Miami. Welcome back to the show. It's Mr. Brian Newdorf. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Yes, a once former best meteorologist or best weather on this show until I lost by 4 votes and nobody would take my recounts. I don't understand why.
Yeah,
there was... I'm blaming the lap traffic voting machines. I'm just going to put it out there. I've got Mike Lindell on the case.
That's hysterical. I love that. That is great. Yeah, no, it is.
I'm sorry for the political humor. It's not.
No,
for those
that's
of you,
great. If you can't laugh at that, then I can't help you. So, no, that is hysterical. I love everything about that.
I held off because it was around the same time. I thought about saying that, but I thought that nerve was way too exposed when we did this initially. So yes. I kept that one in my back pocket.
Sad, though. This will be good to see how long Aaron listens to the show to see if he hears that or not. So. No, that's great. I love that. How you been, man? Good to have you back.
I'm doing well. I'm glad. I was getting kind of worried that, you know, it was like, I mean, granted, this was Aaron's show. I feel like I'm still the guest meteorologist.
Nonsense. Not at this point. It is a dual segment at this point.
All I know is that this is my first solo, and you got mad because, I don't know, you know, moonlight with another podcast.
All right. I got to lay the foundation on that. So this was last week or something like that, right?
Yes, it was.
And I see Brian, you tweeted a couple things about the show, which was awesome, and I love it. And then I saw this other tweet of, hey, go check out, I feel bad. I don't even remember the name of the show. Not that I'm trying to belittle or talk down, but I did actually go and listen and thought it was pretty good, but I don't remember the name of the podcast, and that you were the guest on the show. And in all joking humor, because I fully support all of the podcasts that are out there and anyone that wants to take a stab at this, because it's a lot of fun. But I text Brian and I go, damn, man, what are you moonlighting? Like, did you accuse me of
it's not moonlighting. That was my word. You accused me of cheating. Now, let's just get it out there. Okay. And for those wonderful young men who didn't accost me and didn't call me fake news and didn't come after me, it's Behind the Wall Media. You should all go check them out. In fact, go follow them right now.
Yes. Go follow them. Absolutely.
Get them to 6,000 just to piss you off.
Oh, that's great. I love that. That's hysterical. Oh, man. Well,
see, the downside is I don't come with a driver either. So I'm pretty much in the minority in this one now. I think all joking aside, yes. What you and Aaron, especially congratulations on your gig with Landon Castle and iRacing, whatever, I'm not great on all the terms, so please if I butcher it, but no, with all sincerity, congratulations. That is just huge.
It's huge. It's been so fun. It's been great to get involved with that side of NASCAR and social media and all that. I'm excited. I got two more bonus shows coming up with that. I tell you, the unique thing and one of the things that's kind of been cool for me is, like, you know, I talk to Landon a couple times a week, like, as a partner with what they've got going on. And it's like that shock and awe of interacting with, you know, oh man, it's Landon Castle, it's Parker Kligerman. Like, you know, it's like they're buds. They're friends of the show now officially. They follow the show. Like, I mean, that upped the game as far as I'm concerned. For me personally, like, that's like just another check mark off of, like, you know, accomplishments of the show, which I am just so proud of. And you know, like, you know, we're joking earlier, but man, no, it's incredible. And thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
We have a good relationship that we bust each other's chops.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, I mean, some self-deprecating humor in this show, and especially as weather people. So,
yeah.
No, I, you know, if the people who don't know, and they don't need to know, Aaron has had It's been an uphill battle over the last couple of years, and there's just things going on, maybe not for anybody else, and he's just done an amazing job, and I think everybody should definitely give him a follow to Race Weather. So I truly appreciate his friendship, his partnership, and I couldn't be more prouder not only of him, but what it's led to you. So I think that is extremely awesome. And so now I'm asking myself, why am I here? Okay, that's all I have to ask. It's like, you know, boy, have the mighty have fallen. Before it was I know why I'm here. It's my influence. That's it. It's just that pure number that's next to my name on the Twitter account. That's the only reason I'm here.
That is only half true.
Let's go 75% and we'll Fair call enough. It Eve. A deal there.
Oh, man. All right. Hey, what'd you think of the racing this weekend? Daytona Road Course. Did you get to take any of that in?
I did get to see some of it. I didn't get to see all the action because I had to come into it late. And then I try to go back. I mean, apparently it was pretty crazy because I get a text from my son who is not normally watching the race, and it was pretty crazy up to that point. So I must have missed some stuff. The end of it wasn't like other road courses where it's, you know, down to the wire and some last turns and stuff like that. So, I don't know how I feel about kind of that. I guess it is a road course, but it feels more like the Roval kind of a thing. So I didn't get a lot of excitement. It was great to see, you know, Bell get that, you know, Daytona living up to people getting their first wins. So I think that's great. I like the parity. I'm probably one of the few because I don't have a horse in this race anymore.
Sure. Yeah.
So I like the stories. It's kind of like the old media guy in me and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Give me the narrative. I'm all about narratives, man. Absolutely.
You know, so I didn't get a chance to speak after the Daytona, but he's been in this race. He's always been able to, you know, his people back when, you know, always willing to speak to the, you know, media and try to get their name out there. And he's just, you know, everything I hear, he's just, he, you know, I'm a man of faith, and he doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk.
Sure.
And,
yep.
You know, that's just great. So Daytona has been providing some really cool things. You know, to me, it's not like the Roval, like some of the races we've had in the Roval. It's not like some of the other things, you know, poor Logano, you know, lead, don't win. You know, at least Daytona's, you know, and he ran ahead, but he lost his brakes. Let's just be honest what happened there. They were 100% on that.
They all had some braking issues towards the end of that damn thing, man. It was interesting. I wonder if they change up the type of brake that maybe they bring. I wonder if the fact that they went back and forth between, you know, rain tires and non-rain tires impacted the brakes and how much they were on them. But man, those guys were smoking and locking from lap one to the end of that thing. So, yeah, no, that's I'm curious to see if they change. You know, they obviously aren't planning. Who knows what's going to happen, but they don't plan on going back to the Daytona Roval road course and again this year. But I wonder if that changes the outlook on the other road courses that we're going to, the type of brake package that they allow for there. So, yeah, that's definitely something to keep an eye on for sure. Well, man, no truck race this week, but we got a Saturday, Sunday at Homestead, Miami. How are we looking for that?
You know what? It's like our version of the bubble in Florida still.
Yes.
Normally this would, you know, normally I would be at this point bald night now with all the hair falling out because it's, you know, now last week, you know, and I mean, and for the people who I had somebody just get on me because, you know, I joked about the fact that now everybody was going to hate us because the weekend was mostly dry, and it was, they got to get the tires and stuff like that with the, you know, for Daytona on the road course, but it wasn't probably what everybody wanted. But still, you know, I put out a just sarcastic, and anybody who's known me for a long time knows it's usually tongue in cheek. I'm not upset when I tweet, but some guy just came at me and was like, "Hey, send me your snail mail so I can give you a couple layers of skin because yours seems so thin."
Ooh, wow.
So my response was ditto. I said, "Give me yours so I can give you part of my funny bone to give you a sense of humor."
Nice. I totally I just put a rim shot drum sound in there on that.
and then he goes, "Well, if you're trying to be, you should keep it because that wasn't very funny." And I'm like, "Neither was yours." So I don't like to get snarky with people on there, you know. And I don't like to. I really don't. But come on, it's a joke. I mean, it was the idea. People got to understand that, you know, we do get a lot of this. Oh, you know, everybody hates the rain until it's a road course, and then, you know, they're cursing our name when it's, you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. Well, man, this was
so the forecast. Yeah, let's get to that. You know, let's get to the forecast. Yes. You know, that thing. That thing I'm here to supposed to do,
right?
Providing new content for free. Saturday looks pretty good. Actually, both days, Saturday and Sunday, temperatures. I could go into the whole weather mumbo jumbo. It's kind of cool. Something that we haven't seen in a while in Florida, a big ridge and dry air and sunshine and 80s. Bit of a win, though. A bit of a win. Yeah, 83. I know. That's a foreign word to you in Michigan.
Hey, listen, it was 37 degrees today and the sun was out. I went and took mine and my wife's car through the car wash. I had the window down. It was a freaking heat wave up here, man. I'll take 37 degrees in February in Michigan.
Yes, you would. Do you want to know what it was in Louisville today?
What was in Louisville today?
Hold on. Let me just double check. I think I know what it was, but I just want to be on the safe side while I'm sitting here stalling. But the weather Radio does look one. Really nice. What's that?
Radio for one.
You know what? It was definitely in the 50s and an unconfirmed. Here we go. That's what I'm looking for. So today we hit a high of 62 degrees.
Wow.
So you know what you can do with your 37?
Hey, I'll still take my 37, man. Snow started to melt. Like I said, I drove with the window down. I'll take it. Man. All right. So Saturday's looking good. How's Sunday looking for Homestead?
Same. That was the forecast for both days. Sunny and 80 and a little bit of a wind.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Let's see. 12 minutes of dialogue for 30 seconds of weather content.
Well, I had to fill time because it was kind of like Ollie. Sunny, back to you, right. You know.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. It was great to have you back on. Look forward to having you on in a couple of weeks. Everybody, make sure you check.
Can I get that in writing?
Yes, of course. Everybody, sure you check out Brian on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Aaron Studwell at Race Weather. Sir, great to catch up with you. Get you back on here in a couple weeks. Lap Traffic Nation. It is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment. I'm very excited for this week. All right, you guys know the drill. After the checkered flag drops, you can tweet your picks for your Lucky Dog and Lap Down submissions, or you can call the Wave Around Hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there, and I'll play them on the show. Guys, my Lucky Dog this week, Ben Rhodes. My lap down, I don't have one, and I'm excited not to have one. That means things went good. So let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog is a three-way tie with C. Bell, Michael McDowell, and Ryan Preece. Three surprise finishes. Lap down, Kyle Busch, problems at the very beginning and very end made for a long, rough day. Jeff at JBev1789's a Lucky Dog, two first-time winners, Ty Gibbs and C. Bell. Really cool to see new faces in victory lane. Lap down, don't like the wet weather rule. Read the explanation today, and I'm not sold. I'd rather it be up to the teams to call the switch on tires. Mike O at Odell_Michaels, Lucky Dog Ben Rhodes, somehow holding off the pack in a three overtime finish. Also, Timmy Hill got a top 10. Lap down, Brett Moffitt with his second bad finish in a row. Gina at GoAlex48, a Lucky Dog. The fans, that was a fun race, and we watched wrecked up cars advance after we thought they were done for the day. A lap down, the useless and mandatory rain caution towards the end. It's no longer needed since the wipers are on from the start of the race. Get rid of it. Well, let's see here. We got Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, a Lucky Dog. McDowell, nice rebound to eighth. Lap down, race control. Throw a caution for a light sprinkle. No caution for two crashes right in the middle of the pack and for debris falling off the 14 when the boss flew up. Felt like rain caution was for entertainment. Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with any of that there, guys. Eddie at Eddie_EG3's Lucky Dog. Ty Gibbs, first National Series win against the dominant road course racers in the Xfinity Series in Austin Cindric. Lap down, Kyle Busch for letting Adam Stevens go, and then his former crew chief wins before he does. Burn, baby! I love it. Kristen at KHogland79, a lap down to Elliott and Truex. Lucky Dog, Bell gets his first Cup win. Yeah. Mick at GoDucks42_Mix. Lucky Dog C. Bell for getting that first win, and Adam Stevens moving from the 18 and showing he still has it. lap down, Matt DiBenedetto, after races being 37 in points is a horrible start. It's kind of like my lap traffic fantasy standings there, Mick. Matthew at CH9SE fan. Lucky dog is either Kurt Busch for not tearing the front of his car off or Chase for that wicked triple save. Lap down, Kyle Busch, lap one trouble, fought all the way to being a top 10 car. Then that weird situation crashed him at the end. David at DFlint14's lucky dog is Eric Phillips because his driver managed to somehow get back to third and make up for his gaffe. Lap down. Well, everything else. Yeesh. Brian at StormanB81's lucky dog has to be that the race was much better racing all around this year than last year. Lap down in NASCAR for throwing that bogus rain caution because a driver was stinking up the show. Lisa at LL Chanana's lucky dog is obviously Christopher Bell putting that pass by Logano and winning his first cup race. Lap down all the drivers that are considered tops in the road course races being owned by the road course. Like that one, Lisa. Mark at M Luds 20 lucky dog Ben Rhodes going back to back on the truck series. He gets to celebrate for nearly 2 weeks since there's no truck race next week. Lap down has got to be my lap traffic fantasy picks this week. Back-to-back second places, and then Chase Elliott coming so close. All right. I said at the start I didn't have a lap down. My lap down are my fantasy picks. Fred at Fred LeClaire's lucky dog at Ryan Preece and Michael McDowell for scoring great finishes 2 weeks in a row. Lap down NASCAR for the caution for weather. They stop for green flags, stops all the time if they want. Rain tires, leave it in the team's hands if they want to stop. 100%. Meow Mix Podcast at Meow Mix Podcast. Lucky dog has to go to Bell. He earned that win. No asterisks there. Lap down has to go to Chase Elliott. The rain caution put him in a bad spot. In hindsight, he should have just stayed out, kept the lead, feel like he would have won the race. 100%. And last one for the tweeted responses. Mark at Big Mac Mark Zero. Lucky dog has to be Christopher Bell. I mean, he won his first race. The lap down got to be Joey Logano. Two straight weeks where he got robbed of a win. Love it. All right, let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Camper News. What an incredible weekend of racing at the Daytona Road Course. I honestly thought that all three races, the truck, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series, had incredible racing, a lot of great action, and, you know, it lived up to our expectations. After what I saw, of course, at the Busch Clash earlier this month, of course, before the 500, I thought, you know, this was a great weekend of racing at the road course. I thought NASCAR did a tremendous job, you know, with the racing and everything that happened this weekend. I think this is going to be one of the best year seasons that I've ever seen. And, you know, I think this year, road course racing is going to be really exciting, and I'm really looking forward to more to come with the road courses. And next road course race, of course, first ever time in Austin at Circuit of the Americas coming up in May. But anyway, my lucky dog for this week, I'm going to give it to Christopher Bell. First time winning a NASCAR Cup Series, and believe it or not, the last time on a road course we had a first-time winner in the Cup Series was Chase Elliott in Watkins Glen in 2018. So, you know, well-deserved. Christopher Bell really was up there all day. And I thought last year he had great consistency at road course races. So I think he has more great things to come, especially on the road courses. And my lap down, I have a couple. First of all, Chase Elliott, dominant day, and that spin towards the end just did not help him at all. And, you know, tough luck for Chase, but, you know, you can't win them all at road courses. And finally, but briefly, I'm going to mention my other lucky lap down, I mean. I'm going to give it to NASCAR that caution for what we thought was wet weather conditions. It really just stopped raining and the track was drying. I honestly thought NASCAR should have never thrown that caution, in my personal opinion. And I think, you know, that I don't understand why they did that at all. But it was starting to dry. So anyway, with that, enjoy your week, Brandon, Lap Track Nation. I'll talk to you next weekend after the race at Homestead. Thank you so much, Brandon. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Matt, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate you as always. You know, I'll just comment a little further on the rain and the caution and all that. You know, I think now that we've gotten a few of these under our belt in all three series, I think the teams are a little bit more comfortable. Throwing that caution is probably worse than the competition caution that we get when we get rain overnight, in my opinion. You know, it's just not needed, especially when it was as inconsistent and as light as it was. I get a maybe monsoon downpour out of nowhere hits, fine. But as you know, for a mist like it was in just a couple areas of the track, I don't think it was needed at all. But yeah, with you guys there. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, this is Carson, first-time caller, at Carson Haglund, for my lap-down and lucky dog pick. This week, my lap-down pick is going to be Chase Elliott. He had a really good run going early in the race, led a lot of laps, just had a horrible ending to it. Sucks to see, but that's racing. Then my lucky dog is going to go to Christopher Bell, my favorite driver. He just had an awesome race, first career win at Daytona. Very happy to see it. Cannot wait for many more to come. See you later.
Oh, Carson, yes. Love first-time callers. Hell yeah, man. Thank you. And first-time winners. Congrats, man. Awesome when your driver wins. Absolutely love it. Awesome. Make sure you call back, brother. All right, let's get to the last call on the Wave Around Hotline. He was at the race this weekend. You know who it is. It's the voice of the Wave Around Hotline.
What's going on, Lap Traffic Nation? Voice for the Wave Around Hotline at Race King, calling in post Daytona Road Course on the way home from the Daytona Road Course. What a flipping race. I got a lot to say about the race. Some good, some bad. Some might disagree with me. Some might hate me at the end. I really don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. Overall, a great race. It's going to be a really, really fun season with all these road courses. I'm looking forward to it. I truly hope we're able to do the Daytona Road Course moving forward in the future as a points paying race. It's put on two great races. Points paying race. I'm not even talking about how great the Clash was. Third Daytona race in a row with a first time winner. Second race in a row I've been to seeing a first time winner. That's cool. My hatred for Dennis and Bradley is only growing, as usual. Bradley is a roadblock every week, and Dennis just doesn't care what he does and uses his front bumper at will. The quote, rain caution, was more of the old, luckily, that don't really exist anymore, quote, debris cautions. That luckily we don't see too much of anymore, but there, it was raining at the track, yeah, but it really wasn't anything too crazy. I mean, that was a caution to bunch the field up, because they're like, oh, this race is getting kind of strung out. Throw a caution. So that's going to be my lap down. I'm going to put another lap down to two drivers who looked like rookies out there today. William Byron blew the chicane about four times. And, of course, he was my pick in the fantasy league, so that sucked. Two races in a row to start the season now with two first-time winners. So it's going to be fun. Brandon, is this the year we finally get 17 winners? What if we get 18 winners? One can dream. One can dream. Can't wait to talk to everybody next week post-Miami.
Oh, Mr. Andrew Cancian, thank you so much for calling. Glad you were able to get to the race this weekend. Oh, man. 17 winners. Dare we say 18 winners? Oh, man, how incredible that would be. Oh, man, that would just be so awesome. Oh, love it. Thank you so much, guys. That's going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog Lap Down segment. It's time to wrap this thing. Look at me. I'm early. Look at that. Just barely over an hour. Only got the fantasy segment to do. Man, trying to cut it down a little bit this year, especially because there's going to be a lot of bonus content coming out this year. But, all right, let's wrap this thing up with a little lap traffic fantasy. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it's time to close this thing out with a little Lap Traffic Fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. Check the website if you need to see who you've picked. Keep the Twitter interaction going on Twitter using hashtag LTFantasy. 11 cup races to go with everything in between in the mix. I am excited to get this week's guest picker on the line. He's a longtime listener, longtime Lap Traffic Fantasy player. It's Brett Morris. Brett, what's up, brother? How are you?
Not too bad. How about yourself, Brett?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. It's Tuesday night, podcast night. Man, you kicked some ass this week, man. Nicely done, man. 146 points. Nice, man.
Yeah, not too bad. I didn't really want to take one of my big guns off the board early, but I went with Denny because I knew he'd averaged pretty well at the road course there, and I didn't want to use Chase up yet. So I was like, yeah, I might as well just throw him out there and see what he does.
Right.
Off for me.
Yeah, see, I was on the same thought process with Chase. I'm like, all right, I'll save him. Byron's done well at road courses. He did well last year. Nope, not so much. Dude, I scored 23 points for the entire weekend, man. That's an all-time low. Like, I mean, I could have picked anybody else and maybe made that up if they had just finished well in the top two stages. If any, 23 points. I am so disappointed in myself with that.
Well, I hope we don't have the same picks this week.
Oh, right. Listen, the lap traffic trend continues that I just cannot pick for my own league. But hey, that's all right, man. Speaking of picks and all that good stuff, man, you and I text every once in a while about some action, man. Now that sports betting's finally legal here at Michigan, you got any fun action tonight?
Yeah, I went with the Blackhawks money line. I can't remember exactly what it was. They were favored. I think it was like -120 or something like that. But I just threw a little 10 bucks on them. Nothing. A little lunch money.
Fair enough. I went all crazy because, you know, I'm a diehard Arkansas Pine Bluff fan, and they were favored against Prairie View tonight. So I took some action tonight, and I threw a little money down on Baylor. So.
We're gonna have to do some talking when this March Madness starts up, because it's being held here in Indianapolis, and I'm actually buying tickets to a second round game.
Yes, sir. That's awesome, man. Maybe you get. I doubt you'll get to see Michigan, but maybe you get to see Michigan play. Who knows?
I might get to see Michigan.
Oh man, they put on a good showing against OSU this week, keeping the trend alive. I was excited about that. That's for sure.
Right.
Oh, all right, man. I'm gonna hit the top 10 here real quick in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. I cannot believe it. The MOATF podcast is in first place. Those guys over there across the big pond who have given me so much crap for years, they're sitting in first place with 260 points. Longtime follower Greg Whited in second with 247. Robert Riggs right behind with 246 in third. Jess Rose in fourth with 238. Michael Mason in fifth with 235. Our guest picker tonight, Brett Morris in sixth with 230. John Entwistle in Australia is in seventh with 220. Fred LeClaire and Kyle W. tied in eighth with 217. David Mullins in ninth with 216. Michael Elliott in 10th with 213. It is close. And listen, guys, you're not out of it by any means, because there are bonus points this year. So, hey, bonus points can carry you through. So if you've fallen behind like I have in the first 2 weeks, it's still anybody's game. Bonus points, just three players have them at the moment, though. That's Brett, Marcus, and Mick. What do you say, man? You ready to make some picks for Homestead?
Absolutely.
All right, man. No truck race, unfortunately, this week. But who are you rolling with in the Xfinity Series?
I'm going to go with Harrison Burton.
Harrison Burton, nice pick. I like that. That's for sure. I am going to go with my pick from last week, who's definitely going to get some retribution this week, I feel. I'm rolling back-to-back with A.J. Allmendinger this week. All right, let's go over to the Cup Series. Homestead, Miami, who do you got?
Going with the Candyman, Kyle Busch.
Oh, God. All right, man. I, too, have Kyle Busch. Now, listen, you're not locked into these picks by any stretch of the imagination yet, because it's not Thursday, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So Brett, if you feel the need that you have to change your cup pick because you do not want my curse to carry over for you, you know, you can feel free to change that. The picks get posted before the races occur, so everything will be square. There's no collusion or anything like that. But if you need to change your picks, you let me know, man.
No, I'm breaking the curse this week.
Oh, yes. Maybe that'll help me, man. Oh, thank you for having confidence. I appreciate that so much, man.
Now we might have to hit the sports book.
Right. For sure. All right, man. Well, listen, hey, enjoy the racing this weekend. Good luck on the sports betting there. And something tells me this isn't going to be the last time we talk to you, man.
I hope not.
All right, man. We'll catch you soon.
We'll see you, bud.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 223 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget to go to manscaped.com and use code LAPT at checkout. Get 20% off and free shipping. Don't forget about the giveaway. Just about 250 followers to go. Huge thanks to Corey LaJoy, Quinn Hoff, Brian Newdorf, and Brett Morris for calling into the show. Bonus show this Friday with Landon Castle and maybe a few other special guests. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!